What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today we're back to normal. Last episode was really refreshing. I got to talk about a few wins. That doesn't happen often around here, and we're right back to where we were the last couple of weeks with some absolutely deflating losses, some pretty disgusting losses, honestly, some pretty embarrassing losses. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. I promise you it won't be just boring, sad, lost talk. I'm going to try to make it a little more fun, a little funny, kind of poke fun at people. That's kind of what you got to do at this point because the season's just dreading on and on. There's 14 games left, and I'm sure nobody listening here really wants to watch the last couple of games. I know I'm going to just because that's just what I do. I watch every game. I don't know if you're going to keep watching. I don't blame you if you don't. Honestly, you shouldn't. Do something fun with your life. Go out, have fun with friends or family. Don't waste your time watching this sorry ass team. But I'm gonna be watching, so I'm gonna keep having you updated with what's going on, so I can always just fill you guys in with these episodes, recapping the games. We're gonna talk about the last four games that the Wizards have played. That's the Memphis game. That's Houston, Chicago, and Boston. I'm going to talk about the Vucevic signing that happened right after the Memphis game. Just give my thoughts on that, give you a little bit of a timeline on when I think he'll actually play. And I also want to give you guys a little bit of an update on the outlook of the season in terms of the lottery update, where the Wizards rank compared to other teams, how many games I think the Wizards could realistically win over the final 14 games of the season. And also give you an update on where the Wizards pick from the Daniel Gafford trade would land at the moment. Not even thinking about how far the Clippers would make it or the Thunder would make it in the playoffs. So without further ado, just gonna get started with the Grizzlies game. And I talked about this a little bit on the DMV5 podcast. It's a great podcast on Twitter. I'd recommend going and checking that out. I had a lot of fun talking to those guys. But I mean, we talked about the Memphis game there. I'm going to talk about it here again. It was absolutely pathetic. It was embarrassing. It was disgusting. It was sad. It's any type of adjective that you think can describe that game. I'm going to tell you the starting five for the Memphis Grizzlies right now: Jordan Goodwin, Luke Kennard, John Conchar, Santi Aldama, and Trey Jemison. I guarantee you know Jordan Goodwin because he played for the Wizards, and Luke Kennard's been in the league for a minute. Very solid player. The other people, I'm sure nobody really knows. Trey Jemison signed a 10-day contract with the Wizards. I'm pretty sure I have actually been to more Wizards games than Trey Jemison has this season, and he played for the team. Santi Aldama, not terrible. Like, these guys aren't terrible. I don't want to call them terrible, but they aren't good. And the moral of the story is the Wizards were missing, I believe, Rashawn Holmes and Marvin Bagley. But they were also missing those two guys against the Miami Heat, and that didn't seem to be an issue. And they came out to this game, and you knew they were going to come out flat. The fact that you are a team with 11 wins through 64 games at this point, and you are going to take an opponent lightly, is embarrassing. You're the worst team in the league. Your roster sucks. You guys aren't good. You're not at that level to take anybody lightly and disrespect the game like that. But what do? They come out and they lay a fucking egg in the first half. They let Trey Jemison look like prime Shaq in the first quarter, dropping 10 points. He had a career-high 12 points, like 2 minutes into the second quarter. And I understand you don't have a center, and he's a big man, but he's not that big of a dude. He's more of like a Eugene Omorui type guy. He's gonna pound you down in the paint. He's gonna give 100% effort, and the Wizards gave 0% effort, and that's why they got cooked. There was one drive I want to talk about by Santi Aldama. He drove right around Tyus Jones. It looked like Tyus was that dude in the ring with the bull who has a little red flag, and he just put it out there. And then once Aldama went to his right, he pulled the flag out and said, "Here you go. Fucking run past me and get a layup." I understand Tyus Jones is undersized. He's not a good defender. Just give fucking effort. At least try to stay in front of your man instead of letting him go right into the rim. Ridiculous. A ridiculous first quarter. Pathetic first half. The Wizards were down, I think, 20 points, something like that, after the first half. Much better start in the second half. Cut the lead to 12. Made a big run with Tyus and Kuz, particularly on the bench. And this is the lineup: Jordan Poole, Danny Avdia, Jared Butler, Eugene Omorui, Patrick Bowman Jr. They came in, I think the Wizards were down 17. They cut the lead to 8 with multiple chances to cut it even further. Eugene brought the energy and changed the game, honestly. Really does that every time he plays. I could say the same for Jared Butler. And the Wizards got to that point. And I said, please, Brian Keefe, I know you're going to do the wrong thing and put the starters back in. Don't reward that bullshit effort from everybody on the starting lineup, not including Denny, obviously, because he was the person that played well and brought the team back. And what does Brian Keefe do? It's like if you're in 2K and you're running, you know, standard rotations or generic rotations, they're eventually in the fourth quarter going to put the same guys in every single game. Exactly what that guy does. Brian Keefe does it every game. So what does he do? All the starters go back in. Instead of Tyus, he keeps Poole in for a bit. And there's one fast break in particular when the Wizards could have cut the lead to 4. Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma 2-on-1. I thought Poole could have just taken the layup himself. He decides to throw the late lob to Poole to Kuz. Kuz catches it, fumbles it out of bounds, and the Wizards turn it over. I think it was then an 8-0 run by the Grizzlies, and it was just never the same. And then obviously right after that, Keith puts the starters back in, takes Poole out. It's just maddening. And there's just a compound of errors. Brian Keefe, you know, doing the same thing even when it doesn't work, just because he thinks it's the right thing to do with the starting lineup closing the game. And look, I had a lot of people, I was pretty hot after this game. I had a lot of people like, why does this loss matter? Like, don't you want to lose games? Yes, I've been saying this all season. We've been eliminated since October. It does not matter that we are losing games in the loss column. It matters in the culture column. When you're trying to build a culture in this league and reestablish that in Washington, a team that's had a losing culture since 2018, you don't want to have games like this where it's clear that these dudes don't give a fuck that they've lost. And that's been the case pretty much all season. It's like, oh, we lost 16 in a row. Well, what would a 17th in a row hurt? Like, who cares? See? And you saw that when they came out flat against the Hornets. They eventually won because the Hornets are terrible. But against any other team giving that type of effort, you would have gotten smoked. And they came out against Memphis, a team that had, I think, 12 of its 17 original roster players out with injury, and decided that they wanted to, you know, play like it was a preseason game because they didn't give a fuck. Nobody actually cared if they won or lost this game. But the Memphis guys did, because a lot of them were fighting for their careers in the NBA. And the Wizards weren't, somehow. I mean, their team isn't good, but these people think they've made it. And that's why we lost the game. Credit to Memphis. I got a chance to talk to Taylor Jenkins at the home opener. Very nice guy. Very great coach. The fact that he has them in 20-plus wins with the amount of injuries that they've had, it really shows how a good coach can change things and really take a team to the next level, and they're going to be great next season. But everyone on their team, especially Dre Jemison, played extremely hard, and the Wizards did the exact opposite, and that's why Memphis won the game and the Wizards didn't. So, you know, typical Wizards fashion, coming right back from the best win of the season at Miami to possibly the worst loss of the season against a very, very, very depleted Memphis team. Moving on to a little bit of a happier topic, and that's that Tristan Vucevic is coming over from Partizan, his team over in Serbia. He played with them last season before he got drafted by the Wiz. He decided to, I don't know if it was his decision or the Wizards' decision, but he re-upped that deal. Was playing this season with Partizan with, I would assume, the goal to come over in the offseason and sign a multi-year deal with the Wizards, but I guess they wanted to, especially with the injuries they have in the front court, see what he can do at this season, and then also have him in for next season with a bigger role, hopefully. You know, he averaged almost 11 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, 54% from the field, and 44% from three this season with Partizan, in a good league, in a good Serbian league. So it's pretty solid. I think he was fourth on the team in points per game. Stretch big, so obviously 44% from three is great to hear. Flashed a little bit when he was playing with Bilal and all those guys in summer league. And look, as for the deal, this is per Keith Smith. He's a NBA cap guru. I recommend Keith Smith NBA, I think, on Twitter. Great follow. He said it's essentially a multi-year deal, but Vucevic is signing for 2.4 million for the remainder of the season. So basically 2.4 million for 14 to 15 or so games for this season, and then a $2.4 million team option for next season for the Wizards. And the goal is, or the what he says is likely, is the Wizards will decline the team option for Vucevic for next season and then re-sign him to a new deal for 3 to 4 years, so that he's on that more of that long-term trajectory. So I guess, it's kind of an evaluation period over these last couple games, and then they'll probably decline the option and re-up him on a better deal, which makes more sense. As for my expectations for him and when I think he's going to play, he was, I think yesterday was his first Wizards game that he went to. I don't know if he was on the bench or in a suite. I didn't see him. But he was at the game. He signed his deal about 3 or 4 days ago. And he should be playing pretty soon. I would assume he's healthy enough to play. He was just playing a week ago in Partizan. But he's got to get acclimated to the system. It's a whole new league, a whole new country, whole new, just it's everything's new for him. So you don't want to rush into things. You definitely have time as on your side. And I don't foresee Bagley returning at all this season. He just seems like the guy that once he gets injured, you don't really hear about him, even though you think he should be back. And he's probably going to miss a lot more time than you think. Holmes has been out for a decent bit, but he's back. I would assume that Vucevic just, kind of plays within these next two or three games, especially because the Warriors have a big homestand coming up. It'll be better for him to just kind of get acclimated while he's, at home. The Wizards have their practice facility here, just kind of everything getting adjusted to life in the NBA. So I would assume within the next 1 to 2 games that Vucevic should make his Wizards debut, and I'm excited for it. It's going to give me something to look forward to, something to be excited about. I'm sure for most Wizards fans, that's the case in a season that's been very, very unexciting, to say the least. So very excited about Vucevic and the prospect of him playing here for the remainder of the season and into next season. Taking a look at the Houston game up next. Look, this to me, I can encapsulate it with, this is a game where guys got their numbers but played no defense, and the team got routed as a result. Kuz scored 20 plus. Kuz scoring 20 plus is the new Russ getting a triple double. If you remember from that 2020 season, the Wizards commentators, every time Russ got a triple double, it would be like, Russ, Russell Westbrook gets the assist to Davis Bertans and secures his 25th triple double of the season, as the Wizards cut the deficit to 28 on the game. Like, just because you get good numbers doesn't mean that you should comment on it every single time. I understand Kuz is scoring 20 points in, like, I think 8 straight, 9 straight games, something like that. The Wizards have lost, I think, 7 of those 9 games. They're not good, and I don't care, honestly. I don't care that Kuzma is scoring 20 points. It's not helping the team. His points don't help. His stats don't help. And it seems to me that those 20 plus points are always in losses. It's annoying. I think it was a game where I thought Denny played well. It's the same with Kuz. I didn't think Kuz played terrible. And Denny played very. Denny got good stats. Like, the counting stats don't matter. You could have watched the box score of this game and said, okay, Kuzma and Denny were terrific. The Wizards should have won the game. But they didn't, and that's because neither guy played defense. And I hate to say it about Denny, but I thought he didn't play that great of a defense against Houston. Obviously, Kuz didn't play good defense. Nobody on this roster played any ounce of defense against Houston. I tweeted out a play where the Wizards had pretty much 5 guys on the perimeter on defense, kind of like around the perimeter, one guy down low, and Jacques Landale literally ran from half court, split every single person untouched, and just cut to the basket for an easy dunk. That shows me a lack of communication, a lack of effort, a lack of care on the defensive end, a lack of fucking pride. That's embarrassing. 100 points were put up by Houston with 4 minutes left in the third quarter, like it was nothing. Jalen Green couldn't be stopped on the perimeter, partly because Tyus can't defend. Jordan Poole didn't help that at all. Who's been better defensively, but was not good against Houston. And it was just an overall shit show of a game. Look, I think it also showed how badly the Wizards need a true center, because Bagley and Holmes were injured, and they just couldn't get a rebound to save their life. They couldn't protect the paint to save their life. But they did it well enough against Miami to come away with a win because they cared and they really wanted to go in there and prove something. So where's that effort been the last two games? It's been non-existent, and that shows me the culture has a long way to go in terms of, being ready for every game, not taking opponents lightly, not playing down to your competition. And it's got a long way to go. But there's not much analysis to honestly say about this game, because I could tell you, oh, Danny scored 20, 13, and 6, but that would kind of be disingenuous because that didn't factor into the game at all. Who's scoring 20 plus didn't matter at all. The Wizards played like shit. Their defense was terrible. They didn't care about winning this game. That's basically the summary of it. I'm not going to waste your time with more analysis than that. They didn't care about this game. They didn't feel like, giving 100% effort. And the result was a blowout loss to Houston, a team that I don't think is that good. Obviously, better than the Wizards, but a team that they should have hung with. And they got Houston, I think, next game, which is Tuesday at the time of recording this, at home. And I don't know how injured the Wizards are going to be at that time, but still, that's a game that you should win. I don't want to win that game, but I think it's a game you should win if everyone plays and you play well and you play hard. That's the main thing. Moving on to a game I don't want to talk about, Chicago. Again, I don't have much to say. I want to try to find the positives in this, but this again was just a game that they didn't give a fuck about. Everyone just kind of came out flat. Look, Jordan Poole started at point guard because Tyus was out. I thought he shot the ball quite poorly. I think it was 4 of 12, but he distributed it very well. 8 assists on the night. Did have 4 turnovers, so he's got to get that number down. But look, I'm trying to find the positives here. I'm trying my best. I thought he didn't do that bad of a job of distributing the ball, kind of facilitating the offense. Obviously, Tyus is better, way less turnovers, and more assists. But I thought Poole did a decent job for his first start at point guard this season, in a while. Obviously, the shot wasn't there, but the shot's been there for a lot of games. It was there the next game against Boston. I'll talk about in a second. So I thought he played decently. I don't know what Kyle Kuzma was doing with only 10 shots. 5 of 10 efficient. I'll take it. But look, if you're gonna be that guy on this team, you can't go out here and take 10 shots. That kind of shows, I mean, not only that you're not aggressive, but take more shots, dude. Why are you getting outshot by a lot of the players on this team that you shouldn't be getting outshot by? It shows a lack of aggression, a lack of I don't want to say want to, just because I can't get on Kuz for not be, for being inefficient and then get annoyed at him for shooting 5 of 10, which is efficient. But he needs to take more shots. I'm sure he knows that. He should probably double that outlook every game. I mean, look, it was a shit show from the start. Down 13 after the first quarter. Down 19, I think, 19 or 20 at halftime. And look, looking for positive, I talked about Poole. I thought Holmes was solid down low. I mean, I think he's a decent defender. Rebounds, I don't want to say very well for the center position, but he rebounds well for his position. The only thing, he's got a very limited offensive game. When you pass it down low to Gafford, he'd be able to kind of get to that right hand, over the shoulder shot, kind of dunk the ball on the opponent, roll for lobs, get offensive rebounds. Holmes is a bit more limited in his game. He's going to set solid screens. He's going to roll and he's going to make some layups, but he doesn't really provide much else. He has no outside shooting game, even in mid-range. And that's kind of, I'm sure, why he's been shopped around a lot. He's a really good role player off the bench, but he doesn't have enough to be a starting center, in my opinion. And the fact that we are starting him at center shows how depleted our front court is, and honestly how bad our roster is this season. And look, this team's ready for Cancun. They're ready for vacation. They're ready for warm weather. They do not care. They're all checked out mentally. Down 21 at half, like I said, they lose by 29. Just they did they don't seem like the ever since the Miami game, they seem like, okay, we got that marquee win of the season. It's over. We're done. The season's over. Let's just play these final couple games and get it out of the way, and then we'll be able to chill in the off season. Regroup for next year, and we can hopefully run it back and maybe get 12 wins instead of 11. Just very frustrating in terms of the effort that I've seen. And look, I don't care about the season anymore, but I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to go out here and play with pride and try to reestablish the culture. I am a fan that gets paid no money to do what I do. I just enjoy watching because I'm a fan of this team. Bilal was a bright spot, one of the lone ones alongside Kispert. Bilal dropped 15 points on 5 of 9 from the field, 8 rebounds. I felt like not only did he contribute on the glass, like I've been wanting to see a lot more, but he was efficient in his shooting. I think 1 of 3 from 3. Really, got to his spots, played under control, wasn't really out of control with a lot of the drives like I've seen the last couple of weeks with Bilal. And I thought he played very well alongside Kispert, who dropped 16 points. They were the two leading scorers. But yeah, they were great. I thought they were really, really solid offensively. The really only bright spots from what was a terrible loss. Champagne also contributed off the bench. I think this is the start of him being more of a rotational piece. And I think he can stick as a rotational piece for the remainder of the season and beyond. But as you'll see in the next game, he started against Boston, so clearly the coaching staff likes him. But that was the Chicago game, absolute shit show. Brought us to 3 straight losses on this road trip. And look, expected losses. No one's saying go out and beat Chicago in Chicago, or go out and beat Houston in Houston. But you should have gone out and beat Memphis in Memphis when they had 13 of 17 guys on their roster out with injuries. We're playing a bunch of guys they found off the street. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. Now moving on to the Boston game. I think I'm gonna be kind of refreshing a lot of people who are listening, because I doubt anybody watched this game, and I don't blame you for it. The entire Wizards starting lineup was out. No Tyus, no Bilal, no Danny, no Kuz, no Bagley. And then obviously Livers is out for the remainder of the season. Shamit, also out. So that takes away your second best bench scorer and your entire starting five versus the best team in the league. And look, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Kristaps Porzingis, all didn't play. But they have a guy named Jason Tatum who's pretty good at basketball, and he absolutely torched the Wizards in the first quarter. I think he had 17 in the first quarter. Obviously, Al Horford, Wizard killer, he was great. The Celtics are just miles better than the Wizards, and it obviously showed in last night's game. Look, nobody expected anything other than a rout here, and that's okay. I think it would have been a similar result had both teams been fully healthy. Honestly, it might have even been worse, but nonetheless, the Wizards lost 130 to 104, which looks honestly better than what the game was. They were down 30 to 40 for most of the game, only lost by 26. But it was basically Poole, Kispert, and a bunch of G League teams versus the best team in the league. Went about as you expected. JP was great, 31 points on 12 of 19 from the field, 50% from three, did everything he could the entire game. But I mean, there's just not much he could have done. And look, he didn't play the whole fourth quarter. He could have gotten 40 points if he wanted. He was the only, apart from Kispert, the only true NBA level player, established player on this team that was healthy. And I thought he put in a really solid performance. On the other end, Corey Kispert was not that good. 1 of 5 from the field, wasn't, nearly as aggressive. Again, didn't play a lot in the second half just because it was a blowout. But Poole was great. Kispert was not that great. And look, Kispert's gonna have those games. He's been one of the most consistent Wizards all season. So I am not panicking at all. He can have 3 or 4 more of these games, and I'd be like, okay, shooting struggle, it's gonna happen, because it hasn't happened all season. So I wouldn't sweat that. Champagne, Justin, Justin Champagne was really good. Look, 14 points and 8 rebounds off the bench for Champagne. Was signed only a week or two ago from the G League, and is now a rotational piece. Had a good performance last time out against Chicago. Came out here and played very well. Opened the game with a corner three. Defended pretty well. Obviously, he's still getting acclimated to the NBA style of play, so he defends a little too much with his hands, and he's fouling a bit much. Getting baited into some calls, but that'll come. And I think he's going to be a rotational piece for the rest of the season. So we'll get to see what he looks like in extended minutes with this team. As it goes for Patrick Baldwin Jr., who got, I think, his first NBA start, if I recall, at the four with Kuz out. Look, solid on defense. Had a big block on Jrue Holiday to begin the game. However, the shot's not there, and it honestly hasn't been there. It wasn't there in summer league. It hasn't been there all season, and honestly, not really with the go-go either. 2 of 11 from the floor. And look, he's supposed to be a stretch four, And I don't see the shot being as consistent as I'd like, especially for a guy like Baldwin Jr. who can't bang down low. He's a pretty slender build. You really want to see him make teams pay from deep, and he hasn't done that to this point. Still not panicking. I think he's only 21, so long ways to go, still under contract as well. But really would like to see over these last 14 games, when I think he'll play a lot, for him to hone in on that shot, and make teams pay for leaving him open. It's going to open the floor up so much for the rest of the team. Lastly, Jules Bernard was solid, 12 points and 4 rebounds. Honestly, when I watch him, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but he seems kind of like a ball hog. Like, his sole intention when he gets it is to be a scoring guard. I'm going to go. When I catch the ball, I'm putting up a shot, whether it's an open three, a contested three, a difficult floater, trying to get to the rim. He is a scorer, and that's good on a team like the Go-Go that probably needs it. But on the Wizards, sometimes it can get a little overkill. Some of the shots he takes might look like pretty stupid shots, but he makes a lot of them. 12 points and 4 rebounds against Boston. Had a pretty solid effort, so I can't be too mad at it. He was pretty impressive, but I feel like there could be some games where, when his shot's not falling, if he's like one of 10, like, that'll really start to show when he's not making shots. But when he's making it and he's on, he looks like a solid player. I don't see him sticking around as an NBA level player. But I mean, on that two-way contract, what do you have to lose? Especially because your team sucks, so just keep playing Bernard and Champagne and Baldwin Jr. Honestly, I would enjoy it more if we benched all the starters except for Bilal, and we benched Shamit, and we just said, look, go out there and have all these young guys flash their potential. And look, I'm even talking about not playing Denny. I've seen plenty and plenty and plenty from Denny to make me think that his contract is worth it and then some. I don't need Denny getting injured. I don't need Kuz or Tyus or Bagley or any of these people getting injured late in the season. Look, you could go and you can lose out all of these games. But you're probably gonna do that anyway with the starters. You're probably gonna lose 11 of 14. So look, why don't you just try to experiment? Obviously not gonna happen, but I rest my case. So the Wizards lose to Boston. That puts them at 4 straight losses. So lost 16 in a row, won 2 in a row, should have won 3 in a row, but go out lay an egg against Memphis and then show zero effort, zero pride in the last 2 games. Come out against Boston, injury depleted, get killed like you should in that game. So that puts us at 4 straight losses, just after losing 16 in a row, trying to start a new streak. But look, the Wizards are right where they were supposed to be this season. They are firmly in that top spot in the lottery. And that's the goal of this season. So you can't be mad at the end of the day. You can't be too mad at some of the results here, just because the goal of this season was to tank and to get the highest possible odds for the number one pick, and they're doing just that. So yes, I'm gonna be mad because I'm kind of dissecting it. I could sit here and say Wizards bad, Celtics good, but you guys don't care about that. I'm trying to give you some analysis. But the Wizards are right there where Will Dawkins and Michael Winger hope to be at the beginning of the season. In a year that they're tanking, you want to honestly be the worst team, and that's where they're at. So a bit of a lottery update, an NBA draft lottery update for you. With 14 games remaining, at least for the Wizards, for most teams it's 14 to 15 games. The Wizards sit at that number one spot in the lottery, at 11 and 57. Right behind them in the second spot is Detroit at 12 and 55. So the Wizards are 1.5 games up on the Detroit Pistons. And when I say, I want to preface this, when I say 1.5 games up, it's like the reverse of if you're in the standings, the Wizards have a 1.5 game lead. That doesn't mean that they are 1.5 games better than the Pistons. That means that they're 1.5 games worse than the Pistons. So the Pistons are 12 and 55, and they're 1.5 games better, honestly, than the Wizards. So it's a decent, lead, more than a game lead for the Wizards to secure that number one overall pick, or at least the odds for it, the best odds. The Spurs are 15 and 53. They're 4 games better than the Wizards. And then Charlotte at 17 and 51 is 6 games better. And Portland at the 5th worst team in the league is 19 and 48. They're 8.5 games better than the Wizards. I don't think the Wizards are even going to win 15 games. So Honestly, throw the Spurs out of the equation. I don't think they're going to get there. So if the Wizards only win three more games of these final 14, like I expect, they are locked into, at the worst, having the second worst record in the league. They also still have to play Detroit one more time. They only have a 1.5 game lead on them for the top spot. But the Pistons have been playing pretty solid basketball as of late. They took Miami to the buzzer, and they lost on a buzzer beater to Bam. But still, they're playing much better basketball. So I'd expect them to win a couple more games to round out the season, as I would with the Wizards. They're gonna win some here, but as it stands, they're in a really good spot. And look, number one versus number two. Yes, it's the same odds. Same with number three for the number one overall pick at 14%. But number one gives you a little bit more cushion and protection in terms of how far back you can fall. If you're the number one over, if you're the worst team in the league, the worst you could pick is five. If you're the second worst, the worst you could pick is six. If you're third worst, the worst you could pick is seven. So kind of take the spot that the Wizards are at and then move back four slots, and that would be the worst that they could be. So you're just kind of giving yourself a little more protection as to how far down you can fall with how bad you are. So obviously losses are going to be exactly what the Wizards want to round out the season, but you kind of want to play a little bit better basketball. You don't want to establish that losing culture, like I've said. It's kind of trying to find that middle ground. And look, I think the Wizards could play good basketball, win a couple games, and like my point stands here, they're still going to be at least in that top three, and they're most likely going to be one or two in terms of the worst record. So they're in a good spot in terms of, entering the season tanking and how it's kind of shaped out. And then lastly, I want to look at just kind of the remaining schedule for the Wizards. Where I think some spots are that they could possibly take away some wins. Some spots where obviously I think they're going to get blown out and then kind of move from there. And that should give you a good idea of where they could fall in the lottery standings as the season comes to an end. So obviously next game against Houston at home. Look, like I said, I think the Rockets suck. I don't think they're that good, but they killed the Wizards in Houston. They are on like a 4 or 5 game winning streak, so they're playing their best basketball of the season. And I don't think the Wizards are going to be healthy. I think some of the guys that missed Sunday's game are probably going to miss this game as well. And look, the Rockets are playing for something. They're getting closer and closer to that playing spot. The Wizards are not playing for anything. Haven't really been playing for anything all season, and lately they've been playing with no effort or no pride. So I'm gonna say this is a loss to the Houston. Next up is the Kings at home, loss. The first spot where I think they could pick up a win is the Raptors at home. They've played them pretty tightly, honestly, in the beginning of the season, both teams full strength, even when they had Siakam and OG. The Wizards went into Toronto, blew a 24-point lead, should have won. They didn't. So I think that's a team that you can hang tight with at home. Then you move on at Chicago, going to be the same thing as we just saw, loss. And then there's two spots here that I think they could pick up low-key back-to-back wins. It's at home against the Nets and at home against the Detroit Pistons. The Nets is a different story. They still have Bridges. They still have, Finney Smith, Cam Johnson, Claxton. They're a solid team, and they're a lot better, and they play a lot harder than the Wizards. So I think the Wizards could win that game, but I doubt it. And then Detroit, who I think they're better than, but Detroit's playing hard. They're young, hungry players, and we're still playing veterans who don't give a fuck. So it could be a loss, it could be a win, but those are just two spots that I think are realistic chances for the Wizards to pick up a W. And then home against the Heat, Bucks, Lakers, all losses. Those are teams that are fighting for playoff positioning. I doubt the Heat let that shit happen again, where they almost lose to the Wizards, or they do lose to the Wizards. Sorry, we did beat them. The Bucks blowout. Honestly, the Lakers will probably be a blowout. It'll also be 70% Lakers fans, low key 80% Lakers fans. So that'll be a disgusting game to watch. And then the last spot where I think they can pick up a win is home against Portland. Look, the Trailblazers are much better than the Wizards, almost 9 games better, but they also suck. And look, I don't know who's going to be playing for them, if they're going to be resting guys like Jeremy Grant and Malcolm Brogdon later in the season, which I'm sure the Wizards will be resting a lot of their veteran players as well. But this is kind of that fourth game that I think the Wizards could realistically win. They then round it out with a trip to Toronto, a trip to Minnesota, and then they're home against Chicago and at Boston. I think all of those are losses. So you think about it, I have about four at the max, four games that I think realistically the Wizards could win. And look, they might not even win half those games. Like I said, Brooklyn, still a solid team. Detroit playing decent basketball. Toronto and Portland are not good, but they're also not terrible rosters. So you never know. You also don't know who's going to be healthy for the Wizards. But look, I think at max they can get to 15 wins. And I don't think the Spurs are going to lose their final 14 games. So that would move them to at least 16 and should secure the Wizards a top two pick. So look, yes, you want to keep losing out. It would only help the Wizards. They control their own destiny. If they lose every game, they'd be the worst team in the league. But it still stands that the Wizards are in a pretty good spot in terms of the tank. And look, people forget they also have right now will be the 24th pick in the draft. The Clippers keep losing, which is good. Obviously, we won't really know at the end of the regular season where their pick is because they still got to make it through the playoffs. And if they get upset in round one, it would be better for the Wizards. However, if they keep making it further and further, then that's going to be bad. So obviously, rooting against the Clippers. Right now, the Wizards, if the season ended today and everything went as planned, would have the first best odds for the first pick and it could at worst pick five. And then also they could only pick 24. And when I say best odds, I mean they could have 14% chance, which is the best you could get. Obviously, two and three have that as well. But you want to protect yourself from falling too far, and the Wizards are doing that with how bad they've been. So look, that's kind of gonna do it for this episode. Talked about four games, four losses for the Wizards that I honestly felt they should have at least won against Memphis. They should have been way more competitive against Chicago and Houston, and the loss to Boston. The starters could have played. Honestly, I think all the starters could have played for the Wizards fully healthy against Boston's depleted team, and they still could have lost. So, as it stands, pretty disappointing last couple of games, pretty deflating. I mean, I haven't enjoyed watching. I'm sure you have. And even if you did watch, which I doubt most of you did, and I don't blame you for that at all, it wasn't fun. And it's not going to be fun for the remainder of the season. I'm excited for Vucevic to come over here and see what he can do. Keep hoping that Bilal develops. Same goes for guys like Kispert, even Denny. Johnny Davis, I'm looking for minutes, just trying to see what they can do. And I'm sorry, one final point. I just want to say, as a Johnny Davis truther, if you really want to see how this organization feels about Johnny Davis, the Wizards had seven players out, and those seven players included four guards. And instead of starting Johnny Davis, the 10th overall pick from a year ago, they decided to start Justin Champagne, who is a G League player they signed 2 weeks ago on a 2-year deal, on a two-way deal, and converted him to a better contract recently. Only has played a handful of games for the Wizards, and he started at shooting guard over Johnny Davis. If you really want to know how this organization feels about Johnny, look no further than what they did on Sunday against Boston. I'm not saying it was the wrong decision. Champagne's been playing better than Johnny. However, usually your 10th overall pick will be starting when you're down four guards and he plays the guard position, instead of a guy that you just signed out of the G League 2 weeks ago. I rest my case, though. That's going to do it for this episode. Probably going to watch the next three or four games, then I'll, again, keep doing a recap of the games. Again, appreciate all you for listening. The support has been unbelievable on the last couple of pods, so really appreciate all you guys for tuning in, for commenting, for sharing the podcast. Shout out to Joe Swam on Twitter for sharing it. Real One as well. Just wanted to shout you out if you're listening and you made it this far, but again, that's going to do it for this episode. And yeah, go Wiz.